doing a hokey pokey. Okay, Pastor Paul and I are going to have a talk about how I don't like surprises. No, see, this is actually why Pastor Paul is so good with youth and why he is the front man at our youth seminars. It really is, because of his dynamics, and he just is a blessing. We're going to be in 2 Timothy for the last time tonight. We've been in this since last year. We're wrapping up two series on the same day. I did not plan it that way. I just preach a theme until it exhausts itself, preach a book. We do it, me and Pastor Paul do it until it's done, and it just so happens that both of them wrapped up on the same day today. You remember that, does anyone remember what the theme of this letter is? What was the reason the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to his dear friend and son in the Lord, Pastor Timothy? You don't have to remember word for word the way I've stated it, but what was the idea behind this? What's that? Yeah, he basically was preparing him to stay strong in the faith in the face of false doctrine, because it was around then too, and to face tough times that just come because of the fact that you're a Christian. All right. And that's what he wrote this letter for. And now we're finishing up this book. Some of you like to say, I'm not a people person. Truth is, I really don't like people. Okay. And here's what is typically meant by that, is that I don't like crowds, or I'm not really comfortable meeting new people, or being with people that I don't know. Some people are. Some people are quite comfortable meeting new friends. But many of you don't, and so you consider yourself to be not a people person. But let me ask you this. What people in your life right now would it be so painful to lose if they were suddenly gone? I'll bet a whole lot of faces pop up in your mind, doesn't it? There's probably several. So you see, you are a people person. Certain people. Those who you built bonds with. And there's nothing quite like the bonds you build with others when that common bond is Jesus Christ, is there? Right? And we all want to see each other, and we want to hear how each other are doing, and we want to get together, don't we? Because of the Lord and the common bond that we share in Jesus Christ. There's just a joy in that. And you find that when you're serving the Lord and you have a desire to be around God's people, and lo and behold, you are a people person. Last Sunday, at Naomi's home church in Minnesota, where her parents go to church, they had it was missions conference. And they do this sort of thing where they get with these other churches and they have guest missionaries come in and speak. Well, Naomi's parents and their pastor and his wife took out to eat the guest missionary that day, the missionary speaker and his wife, a couple raising support. They took them out, and you know, as of course you get to know people, they share their background, you share yours, and as Naomi's parents, Wesley and Dorothy, were talking about their background and their family, the missionary said, okay, now who did you say your daughter was? In New York? I said, yeah, I got it. Our daughter is Naomi. She's married to David De Leon. They live in, he's a pastor out in New Woodstock, New York. The missionary said, yeah, I know them. It was Junior and Abby Taylor. Well, isn't that fun to hear? And of course, that was especially a joy to us, two couples that are really important to us. You like to hear how they're doing. And that's just a blessing. When missionaries come, and they show us a slideshow of their mission work. That's actually an outdated term, isn't it? See, some of you young people, you don't remember that. We call them slideshows because these pictures used to be actual slides, little slides. And I remember that when I caught the tail end of that era when I got saved. But I do remember what was new on the scene that the missionaries got. Instead of just the single track slides hold that went, you know, they got the double stack so that one slide faded out as the other one faded in.
Ooh.
That was high tech, man. And they bring these slideshows, and they still do. Now they just use either a PowerPoint or a similar type of software to show their pictures. And when they do that, we do enjoy seeing the buildings that they're building or the land that they've purchased. But you know what encourages us the most in those slideshows? The people, right? We like to see the people. Often it's just people we've met or that we know. Usually it's people we don't know, but the missionaries are reaching out to. We like to see pictures of baptisms and things like that, isn't it? It's the people that brings the encouragement. Well, the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy had many common friends in the faith. And so in the very last words of this letter, Paul remarks on those friends. In effect, he gives us a slideshow of those who he has worked with in the ministry. Just who are these people? Well, number one, I want you to see, you got two categories. The first category, number one, is those Paul wanted to greet. These were people that were not with him, and they were either with Timothy, and or Timothy would soon see them, and so Paul wanted to greet them, okay? Just like when Junior called me this week, said, I met your in-laws, and they want to greet you. And that's what Paul does. So first he mentions number one in verse 19. He says to Timothy, greet Prissa and Aquila. Okay, Prissa is probably short. We know them otherwise as Aquila and Priscilla. And these two show up the most in the New Testament. Their names come up a lot. Who are they? Well, they were a Jewish married couple. And man, they were just on fire for the Lord. They're mentioned in both, let's see, Romans 16:3 and 1 Corinthians 16:19, where they are referenced in the closing comments of the letter like they are here. Okay? But in the book of Acts, you see this married couple in action serving the Lord. Okay? In Acts 18, verse 2, this is the very first time Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned, where it says, and he, that's Paul, he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them, so because he was of the same trade, they were tent makers, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. It's uncertain if Paul led this couple to the Lord, he could have, or if they were already believers when they teamed up. But in the end, they were a working team. First of all, they knew the same trade. It's always encouraging to meet somebody that has the same trade as you, isn't it? It's like ice is instantly broken. There's a reason that pastors have pastors' fellowships. Pastor Paul and I go to a couple different ones and have breakfast once a month with a couple different fellowships. You know, people that do the same thing. And you enjoy that as well, you know. There's a reason moms, stay-at-home moms, like together with other stay-at-home moms and those who know what they're going through. So they had this instant bond just in the fact that they had the same trade. Paul made tents to help make ends meet. You know, supposedly when the love offerings weren't always there. But they also knew the Lord. And in verse 18, it says that Paul left for Syria and Aquila and Priscilla went with him. This is still back in Acts. They went with him to serve on the mission field. Now, this couple was committed. In fact, in Acts 18:26, they also were used of God to help instruct a man named Apollos. Apollos was a preacher. He was street preaching, basically, is what he was doing. And it says he was doing really well, but he was just confused on a few things. Remember, this was the newfound faith in the risen Savior was still kind of new and growing in that area. And And he had a few of his details wrong. So this couple came alongside and helped instruct him. And as far as we know, he was appreciative, helped him in his ministry. So as a team, they were helping this young man in his ministry. So evidently, this couple's with Timothy at Ephesus. And Timothy is soon going to see them. And so Paul sends his greetings. Now, here's how these two really serve an example of a marriage team that serves Christ together. They served in such a way that Christ was the center of their life. And because of that, as each of them grew closer to Christ, they grew closer to each other. Right? That wonderful triangle. Husband, wife, Christ up here in the center. And as you grow closer to the Lord, you grow closer to each other. And they certainly did. Has God used such married couples in your life? I can tell you, my ministry prep started way before I went to Bible college. Way before. Couples like the Wises and the Gossetts and the Crosses and the Holberts, just to name a few. These were couples who helped me grow in the Word of God and grow in the Lord. Those of you who are married, is Christ the center of your life? If he is, then God can work through you in the same way. It's possible that God will make you an Aquila and Priscilla to somebody else. Okay, it's certainly true. Of course, you don't have to be married for God to use you in someone's life, as we're going to see in a minute. But they're just a wonderful example of how a couple can serve the Lord and encourage others in the ways of truth. Then he mentions also the household of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. Now, it's actually the household that he says to greet. That's an important detail. Now, we actually already heard of him. You can see him back in chapter 1 where he's mentioned in verses 16 and 17. It says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and he found me." So this man was an encouragement to the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner. I can't imagine being in a prison, especially in a prison like a Roman prison. That was a tough place to spend your time. And what that must do to a person's morale. And Onesiphorus sought him out and found him. And he was a man and his family, his household, who just ministered to Paul, and it might have cost Onesiphorus greatly. Now, some believe that he was actually arrested when he found Paul and executed because he was in agreement with the gospel. This is believed by some because in both chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 4, verse 19, Paul talks of the household of Onesiphorus and not the man himself. So some say it's because he was already executed. So that's why Paul's saying, "Greet his family for me." And that could be. It might also just mean that Onesiphorus wasn't home when this letter reached Timothy, and Paul knew that. And that's why Paul said, "Greet the family." Because Onesiphorus could have been out on doing ministry. Who knows? We're not really sure. But in any case, man, Paul found great comfort in knowing this man. And you probably have individuals that pop into your mind. Just a comfort in the Lord. Who comes to your mind? Have you thought of this? How many minds do you come to when somebody thinks of those who are such a comfort? You could be one of them. You could be one of those who's just a comfort to others. Most certainly you can be as you serve the Lord. So then he moves on, and he talks about others that he doesn't want to greet. He wants to talk about. He wants to make mention of them in the same way Junior called to make mention of Naomi's parents. First, he mentions Erastus. He says in verse 20, "Erastus stayed in Corinth." He stayed in Corinth. That's where Erastus was evidently from. He shows up in Acts 29:22. Where it says, "So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus." So here's another minister of the Lord. In Romans 16:23, his name pops up again. It says, Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. That city would be Corinth. Erastus, a Christian, was a treasurer, an official. He held an office in the city of Corinth. He oversaw the treasury. I was the treasurer of my junior high student council. Does that surprise you? Okay. I actually didn't have to do anything with numbers or money. I just basically reported from the office how much we had in our budget. But I appreciate real treasurers. I appreciate those who really know how to handle finances. Aren't you glad for godly treasurers who are not only good with numbers, but are also honest with what they've been entrusted with? Well, that was Erastus. And he held an official position. Boy, would that we saw more trustworthy, born-again believers holding office in politics. Wouldn't that be refreshing to see more of that? And then he also mentions, there back to 2 Timothy 4, he also mentions Trophimus. He said, Trophimus, I have left in Miletus sick. Trophimus shows up a couple times, Acts 20, verse 4. We know that he was a Gentile from Ephesus and part of Paul's missionary team. In Acts 21:29, we find out something else about him. It was in Acts 21 that Paul was falsely accused of something by the Jews who hated him. In the temple, there was a place for the Gentiles to go and then no further. They could not go beyond this point. So then you had the intersection or courtyard that was only for Jews. It was a big no-no for a Gentile to go there. Well, the Jews had seen Paul with a Gentile. And then they had later seen Paul in that inner court, and so they accused him of bringing that Gentile man into the court, when in fact he didn't. It's a false accusation, and it incited a riot. That Gentile man was Trophimus. This man incited a riot when he didn't even do anything. And now here he is, sick. He's sick. So sick that Paul had to leave him there in Miletus. It doesn't describe his illness. Was it an illness unto death? Back then, that was common. Or was it just a really bad cold or the flu that kept him from traveling? We really don't know. It doesn't say. But you know, it begs the question, well, how come Paul didn't just heal him? Paul miraculously healed a lot of people. Well, apparently not every ill person was to be miraculously healed. See? And we've been talking about the miracle gifts on Wednesday night. And some believe that if you have the Holy Spirit, you will display miracle gifts. Well, Paul had the Holy Spirit. He evidently didn't have the gift to heal Trophimus, or he would have. And that's all we hear anymore of Trophimus. We don't know what happened to him. Praise God, he's with the Lord now. Then he wraps this up with a few more names when he says, do your utmost to come before winter. Well, remember when he asked him to bring a coat? Winter's coming, so yeah, get here before it gets cold with that coat. And then he says, Ebulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Now, these four individuals that he mentions by name are mentioned nowhere else in Scripture. They are unknown to us, but not to the Lord. I mean, their names are forever eternally written in the Word of God. But you notice he also mentions all the brethren. Folks, there were a lot of people, a lot of brothers and sisters involved in Paul's ministry, involved in Paul's life. What do you get from all this? Well, the Apostle Paul, he was a tool in the hands of God, wasn't he? He really was. But he was not alone. He was not alone. Remember what we said in the past? There are no superheroes in the ministry, okay? There's no super pastors, all right? I know I've been known to wear an S on my chest a time or two, but that stands for subpar. Okay? No superheroes. Paul was obedient and used of the Lord in his obedience, but he was not alone. And I think he was praising God for that consistently throughout the New Testament. Back in the 90s, I used to watch Walker, Texas Ranger. That was just a good old-fashioned good guy, bad guy show. The good guys always won, you know, that sort of show. And they were always quicker on the draw. And it was some pretty wholesome viewing. Those kinds of cop shows are gone. That was one of the last ones. But Walker was not the only Texas Ranger on the show. He had a whole team working under him. But after you watched it for a while, you realize that evidently he was the only Ranger worth anything. Because if it wasn't for Walker, the day would not be saved. Only he could save the day. You know, only he could come through in the last minute. If he were not there, nobody else on his team was competent to do what needed to be done. Well, it was TV, and TV shows aren't reality. Even reality shows are not reality. In real life, man, we're all expendable. Every one of us. But in Christ, we're also all useful. To be used of him as he works through us. In our last deacons meeting, Alan gave devotion, you know, pointed out that there's way too much emphasis, a false emphasis, on what we do for God. I had a friend in Bible college at the end of summer break. I saw him at the mailbox as I was getting something out of my box. And he says, "Hey, Dave, welcome back. Tell me, did you do some awesome things for God this summer?" I said, "I don't think I've ever done an awesome thing for God in my life. But he has done some awesome things with me and through me and in front of me." See, we lend ourselves to the Lord by obedience. He's given himself for the church to do things through us. And that's what Paul is reflecting on with all of these people. Okay? All in Christ are useful. Paul knew that and was delighted by those who God put around him to serve as a team. Open Door has a rich history of this. You remember, let's see. Judy, would you help me? I showed this slideshow when we went through our history, our Open Door history. And it's just kind of a walk through memory lane. And it's a slideshow of the faithful, you know, over the course of history at Open Door. Judy, would you just play something? Because it's weird just to have a slideshow going quietly. And I didn't record anything. So I don't care. Just play something on the piano. Something that's not sad and heartbreaking. But, you know, even if it's something slow, play it fast, okay? And just, you know, again, just a walk through memory lane of a slideshow of people that might come to your mind and who have definitely come to my mind as having been such wonderful servants to serve with at Open Door. And that's just a touch in the tip of the iceberg, is all that is, of the people that have been used of God at Open Door. The very last verse of 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Grace be with you. Amen. Thanks again, Judy, for doing that. You know that "grace be with you" was Paul's signature farewell. Grace, undeserved enablement. That's what it means. Enablement to do what? Carry out the ministry for which God has called you to do, whatever he has put in front of you. Right? Paul was to be executed at the time of this writing. As far as we know, he was. John Wesley used to say, "God buries his workmen, but his work goes on." You can let that work pass you by, or you can be part of it. That's why God created the church, that we may edify one another. You edify one another, and you're edified by one another when you're just part of God's work. And when you're part of it, then that eternal heavenly slideshow in heaven has you on it. It's just a joy being part of God's team with God's people and realizing that. Has it dawned on you, some of you, you're probably more of a people person than you think you are.